Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I was asking the question, what about those who have never heard the gospel? What will be the end result of those who have never heard the gospel? There are over 8 billion people in the world, and many of them have never heard the gospel. And this is a question that many people ask. How could an all-loving God send people to hell for never obeying the gospel when they've never heard the gospel? And that sounds like a reasonable question, but when you begin to look at the actual evidence, you find that all mankind are accountable and responsible. They can hear the word of God today if they so choose. So just to recap quickly the points that I made last week, first of all, we need to remember that God will always do what is right. He is a God of justice and righteousness. Second, we must remember that God's word settles the matter, not our own opinions. Number three, that God wants all people to be saved, and yet many will be lost. It's not his desire that they be lost. And number four, God has revealed himself to all. He has revealed himself to all in his natural revelation, the physical creation, and he has revealed himself to all mankind in his special revelation. Throughout time, his word has gone into all the earth, and the gospel went into all the earth, all the creation, all the world, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And then last of all, we notice just on a practical basis today that the gospel is being revealed worldwide in over 2,000 languages. And groups like the American Bible Society and other Bible translation societies are working around the clock to produce the Word of God in all known languages. And so it is the case that man can find out the Word of God today if he or she so chooses. And so that's what I want to begin with this morning. We're going to close with 7 more biblical facts or principles as we conclude this study this morning of what about those who have never heard the gospel. Well, let's continue looking at the Bible information. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made a very plain statement that sometimes even is repeated today in common expressions. It comes from the Bible, "Seek and you shall find." The first principle that I'd like for us to look at this morning is that the person ignorant of the gospel has a responsibility to seek. And when that person so seeks and goes out and looks, God will make sure through his providential hand that that person comes in contact with the gospel. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." And so that's a principle that can be applied to this matter of knowing the Word of God. In John chapter 7 and verse 17, a similar principle is stated there. John 17, 17, "If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." You have to have the willpower to know what God's word is and to do it. Very important. And when the Apostle Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, he would remind people of the importance of these kinds of things. And God even makes sure that people know him in the natural world. For example, in Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking about the natural world. And in Acts 17 and verse 27, that they should seek God if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So the principle is laid down in the scripture that the person ignorant of the gospel has a responsibility to seek. And Jesus said to seek and you shall find. And so there's going to be people out there, even in remote places, who come to realize that there is an almighty God, and they have to put some skin in the game, so to speak. And when they begin to do that and search and ask and go around and talk with different people and find out, eventually they can come to a knowledge of the truth. A second principle that is found in the Word of God that is very important, and that is, we have examples of individuals in the Word of God who are seeking and they come to know God. And they are not necessarily individuals. We might call them outsiders. They are not people like the Israelites, for example, who grew up knowing about God. They were foreigners, if you will. One example is Rahab, the harlot. In Joshua chapter 2, as the children of Israel are coming into the land of Canaan, and they're going to conquer the land, and Joshua sends out the spies. Rahab, a Canaanite, she had heard about God from him bringing Israel out of Egypt. She said, "I know that Jehovah hath given you the land, and that the fear of you is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before us, for we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, unto Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Listen to this. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." And of course, the spies tell her what to do for her and her family to be saved when they come to conquer Jericho, and she does. And she ends up joining the Israelites and marrying one of them, and she ends up, Matthew chapter 1, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So we find that people can hear and come to know and believe in the one true God. That one of those attitudes that really needs to be thought about today is in verse 11. "As soon as we heard it, our hearts did melt." And then she acted upon that in belief and obedience to what the spies were saying to do in order to be saved. They gave her a plan of salvation, just like we have one today through Jesus Christ. Another example is Naaman, the leper, the Syrian. He's north above Israel. He's from Syria. And he comes to know the power of the one true God through the prophet Elisha. And Elisha gives him a message to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And he hesitated first and wondered about that and talked about that. But then finally he obeyed that command, and his leprosy was washed away. And so he came to know the one true God. Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5, when he got done disobeying God and running away, he went to Nineveh, like he was told to go in the first place, and he preached, and the people there repented. The people of Nineveh believed God. He cried out, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and so forth, and they showed their repentance. And Jesus said in the Gospels that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. These are foreigners, if you will. We have in Acts chapter 10, the gospel comes to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. He would not have grown up believing and knowing the one true God. He would have grown up among the Roman religion that was very idolatrous. And he comes to know the one true God, and he's preached to by Peter about Jesus Christ and how there's remission of sins in his name. And Peter tells Cornelius and his household, he commands them to be baptized, Acts 10:48, and they do that very thing. And notice in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4, Peter says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation He that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Look at that. In every nation. God is going to make sure that people in every nation have an opportunity to fear God and work righteousness. God would not want that of individuals and then turn around and not allow that to happen. So, number two, we have examples of what we might call foreigners or outsiders. Hearing about God, seeking and then coming to Him. That's very important. And that's why we continue to go to other places in the world today. I know of individuals, I try to go what we call missionary work or foreign evangelism. One reason why we do that is we are carrying out these principles. We're doing our part to spread the gospel around the world. It's a small part, but when you add up all the people doing it, it becomes a great venture. And we call upon others to do that. We call upon others to become Christians and go to other places. I was just telling someone yesterday, a woman who likes to travel. I was just saying, you know, when you travel, you could have some ladies' Bible classes. You could share the gospel when you travel to other countries. If that's on our radar, if that's in our thinking, if that's in our planning, then we'll do more of that. And we can do that in addition to vacationing and seeing the sights. But we can take the gospel to others, and then they take it to others, and the kingdom just continues to grow. But people are taking the gospel to others around the world today. And so, yes, people in other countries can come to know the saving gospel message. A third principle that we have in the Word of God is that we have a responsibility to take the gospel to the ignorant. And that's what I've just been talking about. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the gospel begins to leave Jerusalem. It begins there. Acts 1:8 is kind of like an outline of the whole book of Acts. The gospel would begin in Jerusalem, and then it would go to Judea and Samaria. The circle gets bigger. And then to the uttermost part of the earth. The circle gets bigger. And by the time of the end of the book of Acts, the gospel has reached to Rome, from Jerusalem all the way over to the west to Rome, and many places in between. And since then, it has gone all over the world. And so we still have that responsibility today. And so in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the church went everywhere preaching the word. And we find a pattern in the book of Acts that when the gospel was preached in one place, whether it was received or not, individuals would pick up from there and just keep moving onward. And so we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Then in verse 30, Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch and heard him reading. And then verse 40, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities. So he went to Samaria, and then he caught up with a man going down to Ethiopia. And then he went again to the cities of Azotus and the Mediterranean shoreline and up to Caesarea. He just kept going. Philip kept moving. And we see that in the book of Acts. And there are individuals who keep doing that today. And we do it locally. And we try to talk with someone. We hope that they will obey it. If they don't, we move on to the next person. And so you get more and more people doing that. You get more and more individuals hearing the word of God. And somebody says, well, 8 billion, boy, that's a lot of people. And it is. It's a great amount of people. But you also have a lot of Christians who are doing work to reach those people. And so we try to continue to live by the principles that come from, for example, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6, to be a watchman. If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come and take away any person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And so God judges everyone righteously, and that includes us who have the gospel, and it's our obligation to warn other people. Let's be busy as members of the church, inviting people, trying to study with people, hand them a tract or a booklet or a CD of a sermon, encourage them to get on our website, to read our bulletin, to come to our upcoming gospel meeting. And we do have an upcoming gospel meeting, and I wanted to go ahead and mention that. And I'll try to mention it again at the end of our program. We're going to be looking at six of the minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah. Mark Mayberry of Alvin, Texas is going to be with us Thursday, April the 13th through Sunday, April the 16th. And we invite you to come 7 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, and 6 p.m. on Sunday night. I'm sorry, 5 p.m. on Sunday night. And so remember that. Keep that in mind. We want you to come, and you can hear more of God's Word. Contact us on the website. You can leave an email there and contact us, or you can call us at our phone number that is given with the information for our program here today, 931-647-1324. But yes, we have all kinds of opportunities here, and the brethren here, I encourage them to invite others. We have that obligation. And so, very important to take the gospel to those who might be ignorant. Number four, another principle is that all people are lost because of sin. They're not lost because they've not heard the word of God. They're lost because they're in sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. So a person is going to be lost because of sin. Now God sent his son to die on the cross for all sins, and so that sacrifice is for all, and then he's also given that gospel for all. It has gone into all the world in the past. It continues to go into all the world in the past. Now, in the past, Christianity has been the largest religion, worldwide religion. It is slowly losing numbers. I have not checked those as of today, but assuming that it is still the largest of the world religions, many people claim to be Christians all over the world, millions of them. And so when you have millions of individuals living among 8 billion, you've got a very large percentage of people who are either directly or indirectly letting people know about Jesus Christ. Albeit some of that Christianity, a lot of that Christianity, maybe not would match up with the New Testament as it is supposed to. And even those individuals need to change some, but they are letting people know about Jesus Christ. So we need to keep in mind that people are lost because of sin, not because they've not heard the gospel. Now it is true, and it's good to remind ourselves that there is judgment that is coming to individuals who do not obey. And friends, we need to think about this as we close this lesson, and I want to close this morning this way, but I'll go ahead and mention it again here, and that is, we keep talking sometimes about what about the person all the way around the world. We need to be thinking, friends, about ourselves right here in Clarksville and Montgomery County and the surrounding area. When you hear that you need to obey the gospel, you need to just focus on yourself first. Focus on yourself first. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, the Lord is going to render vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So that's going to happen. So take care of yourself first before worrying about those all the way around the world. Another principle, number five, that is that God is both loving and merciful, but he's also just, right, and fair. He's no respecter of persons. We've already looked at this in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. And so he's going to give everybody an opportunity to come to know him. But there's going to be a judgment in all of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 30 and following that he's going to come and sit on his throne, and all the world will be, all the nations will be gathered in front of him. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the times of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked, but now he commands men. It's not an option or a suggestion. It's a command that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Look at that, all men. That all everywhere should repent, and that he has given assurance unto all men. Keep in mind that he's preaching to Greeks in Athens who would not know the one true God. They have an idol out there to the unknown God. Paul preaches to them about the one true God. Even they can come to know God, and has given all men an assurance. How? Through the gospel record and from eyewitnesses about that. And so they need to repent and get ready for that judgment day. Look with me at Romans chapter 2, and then we must move along. In Romans chapter 2, there's a judgment day coming to all. And so, do you despise the riches and the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Did you notice that in Acts 17 and here, the righteous judgment of God? When God judges all of us, it's going to be right and fair, because everyone has an opportunity to hear the word of God if they want to. So some are going to treasure up for themselves wrath, who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that works evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. We've got to do God's law to be saved. So, it's very important. In our sixth principle, Jesus shed his blood for everyone. He died for all nations and all peoples, Revelation 5 and verse 9. I spoke of that earlier. So all have sinned, but God gave a plan of salvation to all. Jesus died on the cross, but you have to come in contact with that blood through baptism. And so God gives a gospel plan of salvation, which culminates in baptism. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We'll close our program with that. And you've got to do that in order to apply that blood to your life. And then our last principle today is that obedience to Jesus is the only way for anyone to be saved. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, but not automatically. You have to come to Jesus. He's the only way, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one, not many or most, but no one comes to the Father but by me. In no other name is there given by which we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. So it's not through Islam, it's not through Buddhism, it's not through Hinduism, it's not through Judaism or any other ism or world religion. It's through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if it's a world religion, it doesn't matter if it's a small cult or anything in between. We do not come, Catholicism, we do not come to God through a man, through an earthly head, a pope, a president. We do not come to God through any man but Jesus Christ. He is the absolutely only way. So many people ask, what about those who have never heard? And that's a good question, and I've tried to address that this past week and today as well. But friends, I want to close with this. What about you? What about me? What about you who have heard? You have heard. We don't need to be asking hypothetical questions about others. We need to get ourselves right with God before asking about others. Jesus told Peter at the end of the book of John in John 21, come follow me. And Peter said, well, what about John? What about him? The other person that was standing by. And Jesus said, what is that to you? You come follow me. I've got another plan for him. You listen to what I'm saying to you. And there's a lot of people today that have this what about John attitude. Well, what about the next guy? No, you need to get your life right. Let Jesus worry about the other guy. And so, get yourself right before God. So, hear the gospel. It's God's plan of salvation, Romans 1:16. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16 and John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38 and Acts 3:19. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. With regard to the eunuch who did that right before baptism in Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, and have those sins washed away, Acts 22:16. Baptism saves in that way, 1 Peter 3:21. And then live faithfully, godly, soberly, righteously, and godly every day, Titus 2:11-12. Friends, you can do that. We would encourage you to do that. As I said before, we have an upcoming gospel meeting at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come hear about six of the minor prophets. And somebody says, well, they're in the Old Testament. What is that for me today? Well, Mark Mayberry is going to be talking about God's people, God's wrath, God's mercy, God's righteousness, God's love, and God's mountain, which is the authority upon which his church is built. And you can be a part of all of these things. Even though they're lessons from the Old Testament, these principles are still true for us today. So we would invite you to come. That's a great opportunity. We would love to for you to come and hear the Word of God. Mark Mayberry used to preach at this congregation years ago, and he's returning, and we look forward to a great Bible study with him. We would invite you to come. We invite you to come to any and all of our services. You would be our honored guest. I thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.